mentioned last week that the Gemara has a drasha, has two drashas from the pasuk. Berachatz es, es is always marbe. We pass like Rabbi Akiva, Shimon Hamsoni, Nechemi Hamsoni. The es is always marbe. So Berachatz says b'sar b'mayim is marbe even seyor. They need tefillah on seyor. Then the Gemara also learns that Berachatz b'sar b'mayim that you can't have any chatzitz. Even though the person is tevil below the water, below the surface of the water, so he did a tefillah, but still, if there's a chatzitza, so that passes the tefillah in the mikvah. It's not the same if you have a chatzitza, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, and it's true, it's not that it's considered as if there's no bias mayim. Let's say a person is tevil in the mikvah, they leave out a hand. So the hand is a miut, and a miut is not a chatzitza, but this is worse. If you leave out one pinky, if you leave out one here, so there's no bias mayim, so there's no tefillah at all. If the person is completely submerged under the surface of the water, so he is tevil in the mikvah, but there's a chatzitza, except the chatzitza is only a ruba shena makbid, or a miyuta makbid, so on the level of the rice, it's not a problem. But you see clearly that the chatzitza is not considered a lack of bias mayim, it's considered that there is tefillah, but chatzitza passes the tefillah. So the Gemara learned out two dinim from the same pasuk, that there's an institution of chatzitze, and also that the seyer needs tefillah in the mikvah. Then the Gemara says, here we have a little bit of an samach zayin on the base on the top, and it says on the side to look in erev and davar on the base in sukkah dav zayin. So in those two Gemaras, erev and in sukkah, the Gemara says shiurin chatzitze and mechitzin halacha l'moshe misina. So the Gemara says, what do you mean chatzitze is halacha l'moshe misina? You learn it out from a pasuk. The definition of halacha l'moshe misina, the Rambam explains in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos in the beginning of Zeroyim. Halacha l'moshe misina means a din d'oraisa that we have an oral tradition for, but there's no midah shatar nidreshes b'em at all. There's no method whereby you can darshan it out from a pasuk. Here the Gemara says, chatzitza, there is a drasha from the pasuk. So what do you need a halacha l'moshe misina? So the Gemara says, la nitzoche elo, the ruba yamakbid. This aspect, the ruba yamakbid, only then is it a chatzitza, and if not, it's not a chatzitza derais, and so on. That's only known to halacha l'moshe misina. There's no way to derive that by learning out from the midrash atar and the drashas b'hem. So the Rambam has a machlokes with the Gaon. The Rambam quotes the Gaon's opinion, and he disagrees. That's a historical problem. Why the Rambam? Every so often, the Rambam will quote the Gaon and disagree. Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, he's not going to give you all the disputes. He's going to leave out Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. He's going to leave out Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. He's going to leave out Abai, Rabbi Yechon Mishlam. He's just going to give you the psak. So every so often, every 30 pages, the Rambam says that there are Gaonim who disagree, but this is my opinion. So what did he say? There are Tanoim who disagree. There are Amaraim who disagree. And the Rambam writes in the beginning, he's giving you the final psak. So why did he decide over here to quote the Gaonim and to disagree? So that's a historical question. It's a good question. I don't know. Got to figure out a good historical answer for that. So the Rambam quotes over here, the Shitas HaGaonim, who feel that the Seyer is treated separately. That if you have robe of the Seyer is full of paint, of dirt or something, Ruba Yomak, but even though it's not a robe of the whole surface of the whole body, that's called Ruba Yomak. Right? And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, that if you learn that from the Pasuk, Es HaTof HaMibsarai, so Seir is considered part of the body. If not for the word Es, I would have said, Rochet says, Besara Bamai, only the Besar, only the body itself. The fingernails, if you can cut them off, so the part that you could have cut off is not part of the body. And the hair, the part that you could have shaved off is not considered part of the body. That part of the fingernails, that's not much touching the body. So you don't expect the person to yank off his fingernails. But whatever could have theoretically been cut off should not be considered part of the body. So you have a pasuk es, it's marred by the fingernails, and it's marred by those parts, the dead matter, the hair with the fingernails, that's also part of the body. So when the Rambam says once it's part of the body, so Ruba Makbid goes on the whole body, not like the Gaon who say that it goes on the hair separately. So Rav Velvela Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Rambam, usually he comes up with some original insight. Here he just gives Pashup Shat. No one understands exactly why he put this in a sefer. He just writes Pashup Shat, that what's the machlek is the Rambam and the Gaonim, that the Gaonim are of the opinion that since the Seir was learned out from a separate Pasuk Es HaTof HaLubsarai, so it has its own din of Tefillah, and the Rubayim Akbid is judged on the Seir separately and on the rest of the body separately. It's a separate din Tefillah. And the Rambam thinks not so, that after you have the word S, it's marba, that Saira Kigufoi, so it's considered one big unit of tefillah, and the Ruba Makbid judge the whole body altogether, not the Seir separately. That's the Pashup Shat and the Machlekes, the Gaonim, against all the Rishon. The Meiri in Erevin quotes the Gaonim and has a totally different insight. He thinks that the Gaonim not only disagree on Seir, he thinks the Gaonim treat every Eiver in the body as a separate unit. So the Mishnais and the Holos have the din that we assume that by a male body there are Ramach Eivarim. By a female body there are not Ramach Eivarim. So the Mishnah works out, where are the Eivarim? So the definition of an Eiver usually is Basa Gid Matzam. So this, in the fingers, you have this is one bone, this is a middle bone, this is a bottom bone. So this is 1, 2, 3 Eivarim. In the thumb, I don't know how many bones you have. Mishnahis tell you how many bones you have. So each time you have a bone, a full bone, and a little basar around it, and a little gid attached to it, so basar gid and vatsa etzem, that's considered an eivor. So these are considered three different eivor. So the Miri quotes, his understanding of the Gaonim is not only that you treat the seir as a separate entity, and if Rubav the seir has a chatzitza, the whole tefillah is possible, the way the Rambam quoted the Gaonim, he says you treat every eivor separately. So you have, let's say, the tip of the pinky, this little thing which is less than an inch, it's 3/4 of an inch long. If you'll have an ink stain over there, big enough, and maybe a rubo yomakbid, I don't want ink on my fingers. If I'd be a soifer and I'm writing all day long and I'm always full of ink, what can I do? If I'm a painter and I have paint all over me, even when I go to a wedding, also I'm full of paint. What can I do? I'll go to the wedding with the paint. But normally, if a person, that's the Mishnah, gives that example. When is he makba, when is he not makba? So if he's a butcher, he's always full of blood. And if he's a painter, he's always full of paint. And if he's a scribe, he's always full of ink. So that's eno makba. That's a dion. The Tshuvas HaRashba has a dion on that Mishnah Mikvos. When you say, ruboy makbid, miuta makbid, makba means subjectively each and every individual person, basher husham, are you makbid, are you not makbid? They say, no, do you belong to this class of people who are not makbid? The Mishnah says, if you're a painter, or you're a scribe, or you're a butcher, so the butchers are always, their fingers are always full of blood, and maybe today's not so, maybe today they have better detergents, but in days of the Tanaim, so the butchers were always full of blood, and the scribes were always full of ink, and the painters were always full of paint. So the Rajman is Chuba is Mesupik, maybe the din of Makbid is not determined by each and every person, individual, maybe it's judged by the category. What class of people do you belong to? If you belong to this class, then it's called Eina Makbid. If you belong to the other class, that everybody is makbid, so you can't say, well, I personally am not makbid, I don't care. No. We would say, butla daideitz al kolot. So that's a shala, how far you go with that. But the Meiri understood in the Gaonim that there's not only saying that the seir is treated as a separate entity, every aver in the body is treated separately. So if you have a lot of ink on the tip of the pinky, it may turn out to be a ruba yo makbid, or a ruba shena makbid, at least a chatzitzim rabban, a ruba shena makbid there. And then the Meiri says, and that's perhaps the reason why the minhag developed over the generations, that the women are insistent on removing all chatzitzas, even if they just have a little bit of a chatzitza on their chest or something, on the leg. So the leg is so gigantic, but this size of a chatzitza would have been a ruboy. If it would have been on the tip of the pinky, it would have been ruboy. See, when it's on the leg, it's not at all ruboy. But since if it would have been on the pinky, it would have been ruboy, so the women developed a minhag, a loyplug. A loyplug, that any slight chatzitze, we insist on removing it before the person is tovel in the mikveh, because if it would have been on another part of the body, it would have constituted a rubai. So we understand where the minig comes from. The women made a loyplug because sometimes it'll be a real chatzitze. So that's the version that the Meiri has of the Shita Sagainim. What the Gainim were talking about, they didn't only mean Seir is treated separately, they said they claimed that every Aver is treated separately. Then we discuss Rashi Shita. Yeah, we spoke about Rashi. Rashi, there in Erevin, and in here also, Rashi always, whenever the Gemara says Ruba Makbid, so Rashi always sounds like he holds that this is only a Tanai, this is only a Prat in Chatzitza and Seir. Chatzitza on the body, even a Mio Chena Makbid would constitute a Chatzitza. And Tosis disagrees with Rashi. The accepted opinion is like Tosis, not like Rashi. Tosis disagrees and had two Haichochas, one Haichocha from the Uber, and one achocha from the begodim. That's not seir, that's not something that's tzugit shepet, that's not something that's added onto the body. That's the baby's body itself, and that's the beged itself. So the Rishonim, the Arzarua, came to defend Rashi Shita And he said, Rashi apparently thinks that an uber, since it's not really the real body over here, is the mother. If y'all do, I treat the uber as a separate body, but it's still not, doesn't require the full din tefillah that a gufa adam would need. Sof kol sof, the uber is inside the mother's womb. And begodim, kelim, is not the same as adam. You have chumras on the level of deraisa by tefillah adam that you don't have by tefillah kelim. So that's how they defend Rashi. But halacha lemaaseh, we don't accept Rashi's opinion. We assume that the ruboy makbid is a condition of chatzitzis, not only on the seyor, it's a condition of chatzitzis on the gufa adam itself. The Gemara talks about chatzitza in the base hastorim. When a person goes to mikveh, so they don't, the man or woman, they're not required to open up their mouth. The mouth is considered beis hastorim. So the din says that you don't require bias mayim. The same thing, the Rishonim point out, there's a Rasha Mishnayis, Mikvois, who points this out. The Rasha Mishnayis points out that there were some women who had a practice that when they went into the mikveh, they would jump. They would jump in the mikveh because they were afraid that if you have the whole weight of the body leaning down on the bottom of the feet, so there isn't going to be any water in between the bottom of the feet and the floor of the mikveh. If you're holding on to something, let's say I put my hands into the mikveh and then I want to be tovel some spoons and forks, I want to be tovel a baby, so my hand is wet and I'm tovel the baby, so there's a little water of the meha mikveh in between my hand and the baby, in between my hand and the spoon or whatever it is that I'm being tovel. But if I'm holding on very tight, then there isn't going to be any water. So if a person is heavy, everyone is a little heavy, and you're standing in the floor of the mikveh, so there's no water at all in between the bottom of your foot and the meha mikveh. So it does not pose a problem. So the Rash says that that's a joke. He says that you don't need any bias mayim there. The whole body is submerged under the surface of the mikveh, so there is tefillah. It's a shaila, but you need. It's not enough to have tefillah. You have to have bias mayim also. So the answer is, there's no chatzitza, there's nothing stuck. If you have a chatzitza on the bottom of the foot, if you have a bandage or something, you have a cast on the bottom of the foot, so then it's a problem of chatzitza. But you have no chatzitza there. The only thing is that there's no bias mayim. So there's no bias mayim is not a problem, because the bottom of the foot is considered beis hastorim. Just like the inside of the mouth is considered beis hastorim. The inside of the eyes, there's no din l'chatchila that a person is struggling in the mikveh has to open his mouth, or has to open his eyes, or has to jump up in the water. That was a mistake. That's what the Rash writes. That was a mistake that some people thought it's a minus chasidus, so they jump up in the water. So the Gemara says that there's a din of tefillah and a mikveh, then there's a din of bias mayim. The two different things. When the person is submerged under the water, the whole body has tefillah and mikveh. Inside of the mouth, when they keep their mouth closed, or they keep their eyes closed, or they don't have any water touching the bottom of their feet, because there's no water, let's say, there's no water in between the bottom of their feet and the floor of the mikveh. So that's called, the bottom of the feet have tefillah and mikveh, but it's lacking bias mayim. But that doesn't pose a problem, because the halacha doesn't require bias mayim on the beis hastorim. That's considered beis hastorim. How do you determine to what part of the body is considered beis hastorim? So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in the Goyim. No? Where is the Gemara? Gemara quotes a Mishnah in the Goyim. The din is at a negat saras. How do you know that there's no need for bias mayim on the beis hastorim? Because the pasuk says, if a zav is tummy, he touches, a zav is an avatum, so if he touches someone else, he causes that person or that kli to become tummy. So the pasuk says, v'chiyika zav azohar, batohar, v'yodav lo shata b'mayim, and it means he wasn't tovel. It doesn't help if he didn't wash until it's a dime. Well, he's going to wash until it's a dime, he's going to help. That it's going to, he can't be mitar the hands without being mitar the rest of the body. The Gemara says, mikan remizlan until it's a dime in atur. This pasuk is an asmachta for Netilas Yadayim. It's a very strong Asmachta, but we know Netilas Yadayim is only with the Rabbanim. So what does it mean in Asmachta? So there's a Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, the after Zayin, famous Ritva, where he writes that Asmachta, Allah, he has a tradition from his Rabbein, from the Beis Midrash of Shal Ramban, that an Asmachta means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really had this hidden intention. Sometimes you have an author, Lahavdala, secular author, writes a book, and he has an obvious meaning, and then he has a hidden meaning. And sometimes they're not goinim, they have an obvious meaning in hidden, and sometimes you have two hidden meanings, different levels of interpretation. Yeah. So the Torah was written in such a way that shivim parim la Torah, you can have many different levels of interpretation in any given pasuk. The pshutu shal mikra is always emes, ein amikiyot mide pshutoi. Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah that the Gemara, it's a Gemara Shabbos. The Gemara says, I think Rav Chisda was already 18 years old. He had been learning for many years, and he never heard of that klal. Ein amikiyot mide pshutoi. He thought that only the drashas Chazal are true. He thought the pshutu shal mikra is not true. Till one fine day, the Rebbe said, no, this is another klal. Ein amikiyot mide pshutoi. The Rebbe, he says, the Rebbe never said ein ba mikra ela pshuto. The only thing that's true is pshutu shal mikra. That's not true. We have so many drashas which constitute additional levels of interpretation. That's not the pshutu shal mikra. But the pshutu shal mikra is emes, and the additional interpretations are certainly emes. The drashas are certainly dinim deras. So here on this pasuk, the yodav l'shata b'mayim is a very striking pasuk. That's not an accurate description of going to mikveh. So it really sounds like it's talking about netilas yadayim. So this pasuk, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blurted out his hidden intention that he hoped and he prayed that someday the rabbis would come and institute a takana de rabbana of netilas yadayim. It sounds very much like that. So that's what we refer to as an asmachta, that this is really the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't want it to be a din deraisa, so that's why it cannot be derived through the midrash alternative drashas bem. So it's only an asmachta. Sometimes the Gemara will have an expression asmachta bialma. The din is only with the rabban asmachta bialma. So the Prima Gadim writes, he thinks that's the difference. Asmachta means that this is really a hidden intention of the author. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was hoping that the day would come that the rabbis would institute such a din de rabbanim. And asmachta bialma means that it's only a remes. Only a remes bialma, not to place any significance on. So what's with that pasuk? That pasuk is an asmachta for netilas yadayim. So how do you translate al pipshut of yodav l'shat v'mayim? It means he wasn't tovel in the mikveh. So why write such a misleading expression, the yodav l'shat v'mayim? If you stick your hands in a mikveh, they don't become torah. You have to have kol gufa bevasachas. Even if you stick your hands in, then you stick your legs in, then you stick your head in, one limb at a time, it's no good. You have to be tovel the whole body bevasachas. The Gemara says you have to mayim shekol gufa. Berachot says kol besar b'mayim, mayim shekol gufa el b'hem bevasachas. You have to be tovel the whole body bevasacha. So the Gemara says earlier in Nida, the Gemara says earlier, my yodav mi baroi ap kol mi baroi. The yodayim are on the outside of the body as opposed to the inside of the mouth. To the inside of the eyes. So the yodav lo shata b'mayim tells me two dinim, that maga, tumas maga is only mei baroi, ki yiga hazab batohar. The yodav lo shata b'mayim. Nigi is only if it's mei baroi, an outside part of the body. There's no maga beis hastorim. Whether, let's say, I'm the zav, and I'll touch the inside of your mouth. So if I'll touch the inside of your mouth, that's not called maga. Or you, the tohar, and you'll put your finger into my mouth, you'll touch the inside of my mouth. So that doesn't count. Whether it's beis hastorim of the odom tomei, or it's beis hastorim of the odom tohar. Either case, you say maga beis hastorim doesn't count. Beis hastorim is not considered kemisha eino. Beis hastorim is just, there's no maga. There is a din amasa. Let's say nevela is metame if you buy meat in the AP. Nevela, dead animal that didn't have proper shechita, is metame b'maga u'b'masa. So if it has a wrapper on top of the meat in the A&P, I'm sure it has a wrap on it. You can't just squeeze it like tomatoes. So it's all wrapped up. So there's no maga over there, but there's going to be masa. If I pick it up like this, if I pick up the piece of meat, then it's metame b'masa. So what happens if I didn't pick it up? Someone puts it in my mouth. Someone puts a kazayis nevela in my mouth, and nevela is metamei b'maga b'masa. So the fact that it's inside my mouth is not metamei b'maga. That's maga beis hastorim, doesn't count. What about masa? So the Gemara says, even though maga beis hastorim doesn't count, but masa beis hastorim is metamei. Because beis hastorim is not considered kemisha eino. Beis hastorim is there, just that maga was excluded. Balua, that's further in. Let's say they'll do surgery, they'll cut open my stomach, they'll put a piece of a wrapped nevela, and they'll sew me up. And I'll walk around with that. So I'll do masa. There's no maga in the Beis HaStorm, so Kal Vachomer, there's no maga in Balua. Balua is further in than Beis HaStorm. See, the mouth is called Beis HaStorm. Once it goes down the throat, that's already Balua. That's further in, deeper in. the bottom part of the nostril is considered Beis Hastam. The upper part of the nostril, where you can't really put your finger in to reach that high, that's called Balua. So Rabbi Kivega points this out in Yoridei, on the bottom of the page in Hilchas Tfilo, that a woman, whoever is tefillin in a mikvah, has to remove all the chatzitzah. So the Gemara says there's a problem of chatzitzah even in the Beis Hastorim. That's on Samach Vavim and Beis. A man or a woman who's tefillin in a mikvah has to be careful not to have a chatzitzah in the Beis Hastorim either. So Rabbi Kivega says they shouldn't have dirt on the bottom of the nose, but let's say they have a stuffed nose, and the stuffed nose is all the way up on top, not on the bottom. A stuffed nose, that's called a chatzitza bebalua. The higher up it is, that's good. You have to reach a certain point that it's no longer called Beis Hastam, it's called balua. So chatzitza and balua is not a problem. Let's say for some reason or another they had to insert something inside a woman's body, inside the stomach or inside the rechem or something, all the way deep in. So that's balua. So that's not going to constitute a chatzitza. There's no din of chatzitza in balua. It's only a din of chatzitza in Beis Hastam. The Gemara earlier in the Masechta draws the contrast between balua and Beis Hastorim and get the masa. That Beis Hastorim is the pasuk by the Zav. V'chiyiga hazav batohar v'yodav loshotav b'mayim. So it talks about tumas mago. The Zav is transmitting the tumah that he has by being nogea in somebody else. So the Gemara says maga is only mei baroi, mayodav mei baroi, avkol mei baroi. If you have maga, Beis Hastorim doesn't count. But masa it will be. It will be mitame b'masa. But if it's balua, so then it's not even mitame b'masa. Balua is considered kenisha eno. There's a Mishnah in Chulin, in the fourth parak in Behemam Kasha, towards the end of the parak. The beginning of the parak was all about Shchitas ben Peku, and the end of the parak is other din. So the end of the parak has a din that Tuma Balua is not mitame. Tuma Balua means like this, let's say, there's a dead body in a room, so all the people in the room become tame tumas ohel ameis. What if a woman is pregnant with a baby and the doctor tells her the baby is dead? The baby is dead. So the Mishnah says that kolzman the uber is still inside her body, that's called balua, and tuma balua is not mitame. Or another example, that's tuma balua inside the rechem. Will be another case, tuma balua, someone attended a funeral, is wearing a metal ring. So the mace is avi aboy satum, and the metal ring becomes also cherev harekechol. The metal ring becomes avi aboy satum. So if anyone will touch the mace, I attended the funeral, I'll become an av hatum. So if I'll touch, I'll shake hands with someone else, they'll become a rishon l'tum. The dead body is avi aboy, the one who attended the funeral is an av hatum, and he shakes hands with someone else, makes him a rishon l'tum. But if I'm wearing a metal ring, so the metal ring is cherev harekechol, so if someone will touch that, they will become an av hatum. So let's say someone went to a funeral and he's wearing a ring, the ring becomes avi avos, and they throw the ring inside my mouth. So the ring inside my mouth is maga beis hastorim. So maga beis hastorim is not metame. Then I swallow the ring. And I'm walking around, I walk into a room. So they say that everybody in the room becomes tame, because it's avi avos atuma. The cher v'arekachol is metame ba'ohel. A lot of Rishonim hold, cher v'arekachol is metame ba'ohel. So the Mishnah says no. That's called Tuma Balua. Tuma Balua doesn't, the Gemara learns that from Pesukim, whether Balua in the stomach or Balua in the Beis HaRechem, either way is considered Balua, so the din is that it's not Metame. The din is that it's not Metame. So there is a discussion, the Shach and Yeridei quotes from a Rekeach, and the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Chinuch, where is it? Hilchas Shabbos and Shin Mem Gimel, I think it is. Hilchas Shabbos, the Din of Chinuch on Shabbos. Magen Avraham quotes the Shach B'Shem Harakeach from the end of Yeridei. You have Hilchas Avelus, so there's one siman about Tumas Kohen. So the Magen Avraham in Orech Chaim quotes the Shach in the end of Yeridei. Quotes the Rakeach who speaks about Eishes Kohen Muberes. If the Kohen's wife is pregnant, is she permitted to attend the funeral? Some women have a custom that when they're pregnant, they're not allowed to attend the funeral. So the Achranim say that this is a total error. Some woman was listening when the Rabbanim were discussing this topic, so they got it all wrong. The din is that even Eishes Kohen, who is Muberes, and there's a 50-50 chance that the baby may turn out to be a boy, so even, and if she's married to a Kohen, so if it's a baby boy, he's not allowed to be Matam Lameisim. If it's a baby girl, so Bas Kohen is permitted to be Matam Lameisim, because at the beginning of Parsha Samar, it says, Emral Kohanim, Bnei Aharon, Emal Kohanim, Bnei Aharon, Bnei Aharon v'lo Bnei Sahar. So female Kohanos can learn Gemara, or they can get Aliyot, whatever they want, but they're permitted, so far they're still permitted to be Mitame L'Meis. maybe they'll change that then too. So far they're still permitted in the time of the Mason. So the Rekech discusses this topic. If a woman is married to a Kohen, she's expecting a baby, and she didn't take a sonogram, so she doesn't know whether it's a boy or a girl, so it's a 50-50 chance maybe a boy. So is she permitted to attend a funeral? So he says yes. And he gives a funny reason. He says because it's 50-50 whether it's going to turn out to be a boy or a girl. And even turns out to be a boy, maybe the fetus will die before he's born. So therefore it's not 50-50. The only reason why it would be forbidden for her to attend a funeral is if it's going to turn out to be a boy. He's going to be ultimately born alive. But if he's going to die as a fetus, a stillborn child, so then there's no issa to be metame lemeis. But right now the baby is still kicking around. So why is it going to change anything if the baby dies before he's born? That's what the Rekech says. So the Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchos Shabbos by the Siman of Chinuch HaBanim. That there's a dina, Ema v'amarta l'hazik do'el ha'malaktanim, also it's supposed to be adayim. You're not allowed to be, the original pasuk gives Emel Kahanim v'amarta aleihem, you're not allowed to be metame a kohen katan. So the mother should really be prohibited to take her fetus to go attend the funeral. So the din of the Rekech said that she's permitted to because it is rov. 50-50, and you chisel off in the 50% zochah, maybe an eifel, so she's allowed to attend the funeral. So the Achreinim are bothered with the kasha. Why does he need this whole concoction of an explanation? Why doesn't he just say that Tahara B'luah is not metame? The baby's inside. So even if you took a sonogram, you know, Bevado said it's a boy, and Eliyahu Navi comes and he tells you that the baby is going to survive. It's not going to be an eifel. Everything l'chumer. It's badai a boy, and it's badai going to survive. But he's a tahara b'luah. So the same Mishnah that says a tumah b'luah is not metame, so tahara b'luah is not mekabel tumah. So what's the problem? That's what the Achreinim ask on the Rekech. Why did he need such a complicated explanation to explain why the Eshes Kohen Moberes is permitted to attend the funeral? He should have said that Tara Bulu is not Mekabel Tumah. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer and Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, who were married to two sisters, they were brothers-in-law. Their father-in-law was, in his later years, was the rabbi in Shavel, which is a pretty big city in Poland. So the Rameir Atlas, his name is Rameir Atlas. In the earlier years, he was a rabbi in a different city. I forgot already which city. But in later years, he was a rabbi in Shavu. So they both have the same suggestion. Rabbi Hanan Wasserman and Rabbi Chaim Oizer both have the same suggestion that apparently the Rekech is of the opinion that even though the Kohen who's Tahara B'luah is not Mekabel Tumah, but it'll still be a violation of Tumas Kohen. A Kohen is not permitted to come in contact with a mace, even if it's such a fashion that he doesn't become tummy. Even though the Kohen is a fetus inside the mother's body and his Tara B'luah is not Mekabel Tumah, that's the Mishnah, it's still, the Rekech is of the opinion, it's still prohibited for one to have the Kohen come in contact with a mace. The Issa coming in contact with a mace is irrelevant, whether the Kohen becomes tummy or not. Even though he doesn't become tummy, it's still Issa to come in contact with a mace. So the Shaila was, one of the Rabbanim in Europe wrote a whole Dvar Torah about this. Barichas. Dayan Grosnas wrote a whole Dvar Torah about this. And he has a tshuva, the halacha, based on much of this. So somebody asked him, so what if the Eishes Kohen is pregnant and then she goes to the doctor? The doctor says that the baby died. So is the Kohen, so the Kohen's not allowed to be in the same room with his wife. She has to have the fetus removed right away. If she's going to come home and the husband's going to be there, so even though the mace is tumah b'luah, and the tumah b'luah is not going to be mitame the father, it's not going to be mitame the kohen, but that's what the Rekech said, that even though it's tahara b'luah and the baby is not mekabel tumah, it's prohibited, it's forbidden for the kohen to come in contact with the mace, even if it's a fashion, then it's not mitame him. So maybe you should say the same by tumah b'luah. The tumah b'luah, if the fetus is dead, then the kohen is not allowed to be in the same room with his wife. That step is quite a chumrah. So I remember Dayan Grosner said at the time, no, the tumah b'luah is kemisha'eno. B'luah is kemisha'eno. That's what the Gemara had psukim, that there's a difference between Beis Hastorim and b'luah. That's Gemara's earlier. That Beis Hastorim is just nismayed from Maga. The pasuk says, v'yodav lo shatav b'mayim. Why does it say yodav? Ki yigaza b'tohor, v'yodav lo shatav b'mayim. To teach you that Maga is only Maga from Ibaroi, Maga on the outside parts of the body. Maga from the Beis Hastorim doesn't count. Masa from the Beis Hastorim does count, but if it would be Balua, then there wouldn't even be any Tumas Masa either because Balua is considered Kemisha'eno. So once you say the other way also, if Balua is Kemisha'eno, so if it's a Kohen, If it's a male kohen who's alive and kicking inside the Eishes kohen muberes, why don't you say kamisha eino? So there's no problem. No, the baby's jumping around over there. If it's a tumah blua is kamisha eino. So it's a little shaky. Why do you only say kamisha eino if it's tumah blua? If the fetus is dead, if the fetus is alive, then you say there is a problem. The only reason why it's mutter is because you have machzat schor, machzat nekevis, and the 50% schorin, and maybe that'll turn out to be a nefam. What do you say? That was?
The Gemara, I can't remember now.
That says that what?
That the Gemara feeds the Avadim of a coin.
Feeding
the Avadim
of a coin. Avadim of a coin.
After he dies, and there's maybe one kid, and the Gemara is worried maybe there'll be another kid, and the mother's stomach. So the Gemara allows these to have that same kind of scar.
The Ramish Nine said about that. What do you do after the coin dies? So the Yorshim get the Yerushas of the Yorshim HaKohan, and they're permitted to be Machal the Avadim still. If it's an Uber, then the Mishnah talks about it. Yeah. What if the only Yorish is an Uber? What if one of the Yorishim is an Uber? I don't think that's relevant to here, though. This is a different topic over here. Anyway, so the halacha does distinguish between three parts: ibaroi, the outside part of the body; then balu, beis hastorim; and then further in is balua. So the halacha we say meibaroi on the outside, you can have maga or masa. If it's beis hastorim, you can only have masa; you can have maga. And if it's balua, then it's kemishena, you don't even have any masa. So here the Gemara, where's the Gemara? The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in the Goyim to say that, here it is, the last four lines on Samach Zayinim and Aleph, says in the Goyim Perek Shein, the din is that a nega tzaras is only metami the person if it's mi baroi, on the outside part of the body. If it's in the beis hastorim, let's say a person has a nega tzaras inside his mouth. So an egel tzaras and the beis hastorim are under the armpit, or by a woman where the breast leans over, so under the breast, and so on, different parts of the body that are normally covered over. So the Mishnah says that's considered beis hastorim. And just like there's no the tumas maga can be transmitted, there's neither maga if the adam tomei touches the beis hastorim of the adam tohor, or the adam tohor puts his finger into the beis hastorim of the adam tomei. In either case, you say the maga doesn't count. Maga beis hastorim doesn't count. So that's again, that's learned after that pasuk. The yodav lo ki gazav batohar, the yodav lo satva, the yodav lo shatav amayim. So from the same pasuk, you also learn out the yodav lo shatav amayim. Only yodav the ibaroi, the outside part of the body, needs biasmayim. The beis hastorim of the body does not need biasmayim. It's not even required lachatchila that the person should open their mouth or open their eyes when they're tovel in the mikveh. They should jump up. That the bottom of the feet is considered beis hastorim. You don't even have to jump up lachatchila. But nonetheless, the Gemara points out that there would be, even though you don't need biasmayim, but if you have chatzitza on the beis hastorim, then it passes. That's the Gemara Samach Vav on the base. How does that make any sense? If you don't need any biasmayim on the beis hastorim, so what does it bother me if you have a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, no, that's worse. Why should it be worse? So the Gemara quotes Reb Zeira's famous din. Kol aroy lebila and bila miyakevizba. Shein aroy lebila, bila miyakevizba. Bila means you bring a mincha belula b'shemen. You bring a mincha, the Beis HaMikdash, normally, usually you mix in shemen. Once in a long, long while, you have a mincha that you're not. Le'yosim alei Hashem, le'yitan alei levayna. Minchas choyte, you don't mix in any shemen. But normally, a normal mincha, they mix in shemen. So the Mishnah says, "Loy bol al es kashen." If you have to pour in the shemen, but if you didn't stir the shemen to spread it evenly with all of the flour of the mincha, so there's a Mishnah Menaches that says, "Loy bol al es kashen." What happens if you didn't even pour in the oil? So that's not kashen. Matam shemen is meak. What if you poured in the oil and you didn't stir, you didn't do mincha blula b'shemen, because you have so much flour, you have samach alef esreinim b'kli echod, and if you'll start stirring, part of the mincha will fall over. The kli is not big enough to contain samach alef esreinim of flour, plus the shemen, plus stirring it around. So then Rab Zeira, then it's a Mishnah that it's possibly midyev. You can bring one Yisorin Soiles in a Kli. Two Esrenim, three Esrenim, 40 Esrenim, 50 Esrenim, 60 Esrenim. Bring 61 Esrenim, the Kli Echod is no good. The Gemara says, why is it no good? Because he can't do Blila. The Gemara says, so what? But Blila is not Miakev. So Rav Zera comes up with this answer. If it's Roy Le Blila, then the Blila is not Miakevis. Then the Mishnah says, Lo Bola Le Skosha. But it's in a Roy Le Blila, if you put Samach Aleph Esrenim, the Kli Echod, that's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara, it's not Roy to do Blila, and then the Blila is Miakevis. So on this dinner, Rav Zera, I think we spoke about it recently, no? It's Machlokes Rishonim, what the nature of the din is. The Shagas Aryeh, I think it's in Siman Vav, in Shuv Vav, quotes one of the exotic Rishonim. Got already which one? What are the Rishonim that the Beis Yosef always quote? But it's not the ones that it's not the Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. It's not a Rashba. One of the other Rishonim who writes Lalach, and we didn't understand. He quotes this from this Rishon, and it's really the Ran and Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav has the same thing. You should have quoted the Ran. So they say like this: Shamei Kohen is good if I listen to Kiddush and I didn't say Amen. I listened to Havdalah and I didn't say Amen. So Shemeya, the one who pays attention, is Ka'ina, as if I can, is considered as if I answered Amen. Amen. If I heard someone else say a bracha and I said Amen, it's considered I'm Yoitzer the bracha, but it's considered as if I said the bracha. So what if, let's say I'm in the middle of Tefillah Belachash on a Thursday morning, tomorrow morning, and the Balkoire is already laying in Kriyas HaTorah. So does it make sense that I should pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah? It's going to be Shemei Kohen in the middle of the Tefillah Belachash. So the Rishonim say yes, you should pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. Somebody gave me recently, just last week, someone gave me a sefer. It's the latest style in Eretz Yisrael. It has a whole sefer of drushes, two volumes of drushes on Bereishis, Chumash Bereishis, and Chumash Bereishis. Then the last 50 pages, he has Shaila Zadiyas Rav Chaim Kanievsky with Manos Alabagensis. Yes, no, maybe. Kein, lo, yitochen, ulai, efsher. That's the whole correspondence. So one of the things that he asked him was, if a person is in the middle of Tefillah Belachash and he started Kriyas HaTorah, should he listen to the Kriyas HaTorah? So that's a machlek sochem. So he said, Kein. That's what he said in Shulchan Aruch, Kein. Then he asked him, should he only listen to the first three psukim of every aliyah? Because strictly speaking, you could have given aliyah with only three psukim, and that's because his father, the stipler, was hard of hearing. So it was he couldn't hear well. So when he got on aliyah, I think they always used to give him shlishi every Shabbos, and they always would just give him three psukim. They would stop as soon as they could. Instead of giving the whole shlishi, whatever it should be, they write that they only gave him three psukim because it was hard for him to hear and hard for him to speak. He had to listen to the Balkari next to him, and he had to read, and he couldn't see well, so everything was difficult. So they made the shlishi into three psukim. So this person who wrote this collection of drushes on Chumash Bereishis, so he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, should only listen to the first three psukim of Rabbi Aliyah? So he says, no. He writes his own. He says, you should listen to the whole Kriyas HaTorah. That's what it says in the Rishon. You listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. So that topic, that's what the Ran in Sukkah, the Ran on the Rif, on Daf Mevav, I think it is, and the, not the Daf Lamed Ches, excuse me, it's on Daf Lamed Ches, Shemei Kohen is on Daf Lamed Ches, Daf Lamed Ches on the base. And the Shagazari quotes, the other Rishonim say the same, that they disagree. They say, when do you say Shemei Kohen, if a person is listening to Kiddush Abdullah, Kriyas HaTorah, or something, at a time that he could have spoken? So he's not talking, so he still says Shemei Kohen. But if a person is paying attention to the Birchas HaTorah of the Oilal HaTorah in the middle of Tefillah Belachash at a time that he's unable to talk, then you can't say Shemei Kohen. Why? Because Kol Hashena Roi LeBila, Bila Me'akev Esbo. Since he's in the middle of the Tefillah Belachash, but he's not allowed to talk, so how can you say that by Shemei it's considered Kohen, but it can't be Kohen by him? If he would talk, it would be a hefsek in the middle of the Tefillah Belachash. So that's what some Rishonim say. So the Shagzai doesn't like that. The Shagzai quotes it, the Shibboleth HaLeket says that. That's right. Shibboleth HaLeket says the same as the Ran. The Ran has the stein against Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos on Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches, and the Beis, quote this from the Halachas Gedolos, that if a person is in the middle of a tefillah belachash and the chazan is saying kedusha, or he's saying baruchu, or he's saying kaddish, and you'll pay attention to yehesh om and yehesh mei rabo, or pay attention to the kriyas haTorah, so you say shemei kohena. So Tosfos and Rashi quote it, and they question it a little bit, but basically they accept that psak. And the Ran and the Shabbal Aleka don't accept it. And they have this argument that Rab Zeir is klal. Kol shein roi labila mi'akev esbon. So the Shagazari thinks that that's a mistake. To apply Rab Zeir's principle over there is a mistake. It says Rab Zeir's principle only applies, where's the original case of Rab Zeir's din? By Korban Mincha. We're supposed to have Lila, Mincha B'lula B'Hashem. So l'chatchila the mitzvah b'shlei Moses to bring Mincha with Matan Shem and with Lila. So that even though it says 100 times in the Chumash Mincha Bulul Hashem, and it should have been Shidon HaVakos of Liakev, I should have said for sure it's Miakev. It says so many times, that's Tosis Kash. Why should you say that the Blila is not Miakev? It's repeated so many times in Chumash. Nonetheless, the Gemara learns out from another pasuk that the Blila is not Miakev. So comes Rab Zeir and he says the Blila is only not Miakev if theoretically he could have done the Blila. But if you have Samach Alef and Sreni Mikli Yechot, and it's impossible to do Blila, so you're talking about a mitzvah shalom b'shlei Musa, because he didn't do the b'lila. The mitzvah b'shlei Musa is with b'lila. The more you do the mitzvah, let's say you'll bring a mincha, a chatzi isara. Chatzi isara, and it's possible even b'riyev. You didn't bring enough. So if you'll bring a mincha where it's impossible to do b'lila, not only didn't you do the b'lila, so shalom b'shlei Musa, it's extremely very much shalom b'shlei Musa, because he couldn't have even done the b'lila if he would have attempted to. It wouldn't have worked. So that's what the Shagazari says. That's when you apply Rab Zeir's svara l'chalek. The Gemara has it here. It says Yevam is daf kuf dalet. What's in Yevam is daf kuf dalet about chalitza? That a person who is a mute, if the Yevam or the Yevama are mute, they cannot speak, not a deaf mute, is a labardas, just mute, any yochel adaber, so they're not able to perform chalitza, because you have to have kriyas apsukim. She has to say, mayen yivami l'hokim l'yochim shem Yisrael, lo yovei yadmin. He has to say, lo chafatzti l'kach, you have to have back and forth. So even though we paskin, there are different opinions in the Tanna, even though we paskin l'alocha that the kriyas apsukim is not mi'akeves, but if you'll do chalitza without kriyas apsukim in a way that it's impossible to do kriyas apsukim, because the yovam or the yovama acher shem shein mecholim ledaber, so then Rab Zeir says kol shein roi labila miyakev esbon. If you do chalitza without kriyas apsukim, it's already an incomplete mitzvah. But if you did it without kriyas apsukim because you're physically unable to do kriyas apsukim, so that's even worse. That's extremely incomplete. Where else did Gemara have it in Bava Basra daf pei aleph? The Gemara in Bava Basra in Amakas. The Gemara is talking about Havoas Bikurim. There are two parts to the mitzvah. There's Havoas Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim. So the mitzvah B'Shlei Musa is to bring the Bikurim to the base of Megiddush and to recite the Arami Avod Avi. If you didn't recite Arami Avod Avi, so the Gemara says, V'dievin yoyotze the mitzvah of Havoas HaBikurim, and the Kohanim are permitted to eat the Bikurim. Let's say you didn't even bring the Bikurim to the base of Megiddush. You give it straight to the Kohen. So that's no good. You didn't do the tenufa. So the machloek is satanayim, whether the tenufa is me'akevus. You didn't do the hanocha. He says, v'hinachta lefnei Hashem l'kach. You have to put the basket, you have to bring it in the basket, basal, and you have to put the basket on the floor. If you didn't do hanocha, hanocha is me'akevus. So if you did the mitzvah of havoas bikurim shalom b'shlei Musa, so sometimes it's kosher. But the eved and the kohen is permitted to eat the bikurim. If you did it extremely shalom b'shlei Musa, so then even b'di'evad, you're not yotze in the kohen, are not permitted to eat the bikurim. So what happens if you didn't recite Arami Avod Avi? So the Gemara says, nishgefelach, if you didn't say Arami Avod Avi, it's not miyak b'di'evad, as long as you did the tenufa and the hanocha, so you're yotze, you didn't fulfill your mitzvah of mikra bikurim, but the kohen is allowed to eat the bikurim. But the Gemara says, what happens if it's such a type of bikurim, that what he was at the time that he declared Hareza Kodesh B'Kedushas Bikurim, it lent itself to Mikra Bikurim. And then something happened afterwards before he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now he's Al Pidin, unable to recite Arami Avod Avi. He sold his field. He can no longer say Baruch HaSadam Shenasat Ali Hashem. He no longer owns the field. He went out of the farming business. So then the Gemara says he's unable to recite Mikra Bikurim. So if he already sold this field before he declared it as Bikurim, how can that be? It doesn't make any sense. So he wouldn't declare it as Bikurim. The Mishnah talks if he declared it as Bikurim and it was Neschayiv and Mikra Bikurim, and then he sells the field afterwards. So it's Enaroy Labila, so Bila Miyakev is there. There, even if he wants to, he can't recite the Mikra Bikurim. So there, the Kriyas HaBikurim is Miyakev. So in all the three cases where the Gemara has it, by the Belila, by the Minche, and by the Kriyas HaPsukim, by the Chalitza, and by the Mikra Bikurim, in all the three cases, the Shagzai points out, the Gemara is talking about a mitzvah which you should have done Bishlei Musa. You're doing, you're performing the mitzvah Shalom Bishlei Musa, so B'dieved is not so bad. But if it's very much Shalom Bishlei Musa, then even B'dieved you're not Yotze. So the Gemara says, this is considered very much Shalom Bishlei Musa, when you couldn't have even done the B'lila if you would have wanted to, because you have Samachal of Esraim. You can't even recite the Pesukim if you wanted to, because it's Acheresh Bechareshes, and they can't speak. Or you couldn't recite the Mikra Bikurim because he sold his farm. The farmer doesn't possess a farm anymore, so he can't say Baruch HaSadam Hashem HaSatan Li Hashem. So the Shagzari says that's the only time you apply this kalal of Rav Zeira. But what about, let's say, Kiddush? What are you going to say? Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say, I'm listening to Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. So because I'm not Roy Dibur, so therefore the Dibur is Ma'akev. And if I'd be listening to Kriyas HaTorah not in the middle of a tefillah balachash, so there's a mitzvah to talk in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. What's the problem over here? So he's not talking, he's not supposed to talk in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So what's the problem? I'm listening, let's say, someone saying Kiddush, Friday night. So someone saying, I'm davening Shemana Esrei, and someone saying Kiddush, and I'm going to be out of that Kiddush. And I'm in the middle of the tefillah, the balachash. So as soon as I finish my Shemana Esrei, I have to go to wash right away. It should be Kiddush Mevokim Sukkah. Why should you say I'm not Yotze the Kiddush in the middle of Tefillah Balachash? Because you're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to say Amen. So what's so bad? So you're not allowed to say Amen in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. So what? What is a din? The Kiddush is Shalom B'Shleim Musa because Shemei Koine is good l'chatchila. Answering Amen, that's if the guy's saying Ashi Yotze, he's supposed to answer Amen. You always should answer Amen. If you don't say Amen, so you didn't say Amen. So what's this? So why should you say over here, just because he's in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash, he's not allowed to talk, so you can't say Shamer Koine, why not? So that's where the Shagasari disagrees with the Shibole Haleket, and it's really the Ran in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches in the Bay, says the same as the Shibole Haleket. The Shagasari Tain is that the only time you apply this principle of Kol She'er, Rav Zeira's principle, that there's a Svarah to say, Kol She'en Roy Labila, Bila Miyakev Isbo, that's only when there's a mitzvah lechatchila to do it bishlei musa, like so, and you're doing it, you're starting off in the left leg doing it shalom bishlei musa. So if it's impossible to do it bishlei musa, that is considered very much. It's considered more shalom bishlei musa, and too much shalom bishlei musa, so as yikar chasman asefer, so you're left with nothing. So that's the Shagasari's definition. That's the Shagasari's definition. The Beis HaLevi also assumes a double partial like that. That's the definition. Beis HaLevi discusses a shaila. He has a lot of tshuvas. He has a lot of simonim in his sefer Beis HaLevi on the Shalosh Tshuvas on the end of Yevamos. So he discusses what if a Yevama is supposed to spit in front of the oven. Part of the mitzvah of chalitza is rikika. So we paskin that the rikika is not miyakevus. What if the woman has a medical condition? She can't develop any saliva. She just can't spit. It's impossible for her to spit, period. So do you say, the Gemara says, Kol she'en roi l'kriya, kriya mi'akeres bo. Acheresh, the yovam and the yovam, acheresh mechareshah, so can't speak, so then we don't allow them to do chalitza. Because even though the kriya sapsukim is not mi'akeres, but if you're physically unable to do the kriya sapsukim, then the Gemara applies Reb Zeira's klal. That's in Yevamos Kuvdal on the base. Ayin roi l'bila is worse. That's considered very much a lo b'shlei musa. So what if you have a woman who did chalitza, she didn't do rikikas, but he ever did rikikas, not miyakevas? What if she's physically unable to do rikikas? So it should be the same thing. Ain't a royal rikikas, rikikas, miyakevas. So the Beis HaLevi is not sure because the rikikas is supposed to come after you already did the chalitza sasandu. The Kriya Sapsukim comes before. She says, he says, lachafatzi lekachta. So they speak, they're supposed to read the psukim before you do the chalitza sasandu. So if you're going to do the chalitza sandal without the kriyas ha-psukim that preceded, so you already have an incomplete mitzvah. So incomplete, it's not mi'akabidi ever the kriyas ha-psukim. But if it's ain't a royal kriya, cheresh b'chareshes, I Arena Oyla Kriya, then it's considered very incomplete. So very incomplete, so then you're not yotze the whole chalitza at all. But Mashenikin over here, the rikika is supposed to come after the chalitza sasandal. So what do I care that the woman is ain't a real rikika? But she recited the psukim and she took off the shoe. That's it. She took off the shoe. She's already mataris l'inosel hashuk. You can't move on to the next step. So the next step you won't be able to do. But so far everything was done properly. So that's where the Beis Halevi is mesupik. He has a big footnote on the bottom of a tshuva. The tshuvas are always two columns, and here the footnotes are one long line. Long line there. See, as a safek, what if the Yavam is Eina Ruhuya Lirikika? Do you say Kol Sheina Roy Leblila, Blila Miyakeviz Bo, so the whole chalitza will be possible? Or should I say no? She did everything so far perfectly. I know in advance that she's Eina, she has a medical condition, she can't make saliva. She won't be able to spit so up, but so far she did everything properly. And then the minute she finishes the chalitza, she's ready mutaris l'inos l'ashur glora kev, she can't proceed to the next step. It's going to be incomplete because she can't move on to the next step, but so far everything was complete. So he's mesupik about that. See, he apparently is also thinking along the lines of the Shagas Aryeh. That's the simple way Taisus says over here. This is a famous Taisus on Samach Vov on the base. But Taisus says that al-chatchila and b'di'evet only makes sense on the level of the rice if you're talking about a mitzvah. If you're talking about a matir, there is no such thing as l'chatchila b'di'evet. Let's say a person is tovel in a mikveh. So b'di'evet it's good. So it's good l'chatchila also. M'di'rabbanan you can have dinim. L'chatchila you should have been tovel like this, and b'di'evet it's good like that. And a get, l'chatchila should have written a get like this, and b'di'evet a get is good even though it's written like that. But on the level of the rice, the Taisus says it doesn't make any sense. This Taisus, call a royal bila. They says it doesn't make any sense on the level of the rice to say that there should be a lechatchilin b'di'evit in a get, or in tefillin and mikvah, just a matir. In mitzvahs, you can have lechatchilin, the mitzvah b'shleimus should be done like this, and you get more schar. And if you do the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus, you get less schar. You have less of the kiyum mitzvah, less olam abo. Okay, that they understand. So Taisus gives an example. Chalitza is a mitzvah, not just a matir. That's a discussion that the poskim had. What if the woman is 95 years old and she never had any children, so she still has a mitzvah to undergo chalitza, she's not interested in remarrying. Who's going to marry her at the age of 95? She's 105. She's older than old. The youngest man around is 95. She's not going to marry a guy 10 years younger than her. So if the woman is not interested in remarrying, is there a mitzvah to perform chalitza? So some want to say that chalitza is only a matir, it's not a mitzvah b'chav, she's not interested, she doesn't need a matir. So that's not correct. Taisus says b'feresh. Rabbi Zulcharev has a tshuva about this in his sefer. So he shows from this text that chalitza is a mitzvah, otherwise how can you have a lechatchila? The machlekes that the achrenim have, the beishmul and the beischit shuv and hilchus chalitza, have a machlekes, when do you have this mitzvah of chalitza? Some achrenim hold the mitzvah of chalitza only applies if the woman is interested in remarrying, then you have a mitzvah. If the woman is not interested in remarrying, then you don't have a mitzvah. And others hold no, the mitzvah is a mitzvah to perform chalitza, even if the woman is not interested in remarrying. Chalitza is a mitzvah, period. But this Taisa says clearly that you can only have a, Taisa says, by mikri bikurim. Bikurim is a mitzvah, so the mitzvah b'shlei Musa is to have bikurim with kriyas ha-psukim, with arami avadavi. If you bring the bikurim without the arami avadavi, you yotze the mitzvah b'di'evet, but it's going to be shalom b'shlei Musa. So Taisus sounds like they're angling like the Shagas Aryeh, like the Beis Halevi, that the whole din of Rab Zeira, ain't a roi lebila, bila miyakev esbo, is because it was a mitzvah which you should have done b'shlei Musa. If you do a little bit shalom b'shlei Musa, you yotze, but if you do very much shalom b'shlei Musa, then you're not yotze. That's what Taisus finds it difficult to understand. What's going on here by the chatzitza and the Beis Hastorim? What do you need lechatchila to open your mouth and to open your eyes and to jump in the water? So lechatchila you really need bias mayim. And b'di'evet it's good without bias mayim. So Taisus says that's ridiculous. There's no din lechatchila that you need bias mayim in the Beis Hastorim. You learn half an apostle. V'yodav lo shota b'mayim. Ma yodav mi baroi. Avkol mi baroi. You learn both dinim. Ki yiga azab b'tor, that maga Beis Hastorim doesn't count. And you learn v'yodav lo shota b'mayim. You only need bias mayim on the chelik that's mi baroi. On the Beis Hastorim, you don't need any bias mayim. So Taisus says, you don't even need lechatchila bias mayim. So why should there be a problem of chatzitza? The Gemara said, because Rab Zeira kol shein roi lebila. So kol shein roi lebila, we usually think of it in terms of a mitzvah very much a love b'shlingus. So that's what led the Ritva to believe that the whole din of chatzitza and the Beis Hastorim is only an invention of the Rabban. He thinks that it doesn't make any sense on the level of the Raisa because it's Taisus Kash. How can you apply Rav Zeira's klal that lechatchila should have done the mitzvah b'shleimus and should have opened his mouth? And b'di'evad yiyotz, even though the mouth is closed. But if it's so b'di'evad that even if you would have opened the mouth, would have had a chatzitza, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean? You don't have to open your mouth lechatchila? So that's what led the Ritvot to say that the whole din chatzitza and b'sastar mazalim d'rabban. That's why a lot of the poskim from the last 100 years, when they talk about temporary fillings and stitches and the gums and so on, so they start off with this Ritva, that the Ritva holds that it's only midrabbanan to begin with. And then, since it's only midrabbanan, and it's only a miyut anyway, it's only a miyut anyway, it's not going to be a roiv, so it's a trade rabbanan. We know that, generally speaking, a trade rabbanan is more kal than a chad rabbanan. The shvus, is mutav b'makam mitzvah. And he said the rabbanan is not mutav b'makam mitzvah. So that's why the Marsham and others, the Mekilim from the last century, so they all start off, well, you're dealing with a trade rabbanan to begin with. It's only the rabbanan calls chatzitzim beis hastarim. It's only the rabbanan because it's going to be a miyut anyway. So it's a trade rabbanan. So whenever they find a makam lahakel, so they're prepared to be made. Tosfos does not hold that it's the rabbanan. Tosfos holds beferish that the chatzitzim beis hastarim is a din deraisa. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, how can you apply Reb Zeira's klal? Kol shein erei lebil lebil miakeves. There's no mitzvah lachatchila to open your mouth. So how can you apply Reb Zeira's klal? So Tosfos says the svar of Reb Zeira taka doesn't apply over here. But the Gemara develops this din of chatzitzim based on a stira between two psukim. On the one hand, you have a pasuk berachah that says kol besorah b'mayim. Sounds like the entire body. On the other hand, you have yodav lo shata b'mayim. Only mi baroi. So how do you resolve the stira of psukim? So in order to resolve the stira, so that's where the Gemara came up with this teretz that whatever is based on starim, you don't actually need to be asmayim, but you have to be careful. There shouldn't be a chatzitzim. The Tosfos holds that it is a din derais, and the Ritva holds that it's only with the Rabbanan. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber has like this. Mechaber has a din that sounds like it's a dead giveaway that he's paskin and like the Ritva. Mechaber says, what if a woman was tevel in the mikveh? She didn't check her body to see if she has chatzitza. And if she's tevel in the mikveh, then she finds she has a chatzitza on her body. And she's not sure whether the chatzitza was there before she went to the mikveh or the chatzitza developed later. Maybe she was putting on cosmetics after the mikveh, and then maybe the chatzitza developed later. So if it's a suffix, whether the chatzitza was there before or after, so she has to be titled again. And what if it's a chatzitza in the beis hastarim? Let's say she went to the mikveh, she wasn't aware that she had any chatzitza in the beis hastarim. Then after she went to the mikveh, then she ate some food. Now she finds a chatzitz in her teeth, and she's not sure whether the chatzitz had developed after she came out of the mikveh or was there from before. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you go the hakel. So someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, no, isn't that a dead giveaway that the Mechaber Paskins like the Ritva, that chatzitz in Beis HaStorm is only the Rabbanah, for what be a din deraisis, so why should you say sveika lo hakel? So Rav Moshe has a harifas. He says it doesn't necessarily prove that that we accept the Ritva's opinion. It could really be that chatzitz and beis hastarim is a din deraisa. That's shitas hatesos like that. Chatzitz is a din deraisa and beis hastarim. Even though the real din of Rav Zeira really doesn't apply over here, it doesn't make any sense. And nonetheless, there's still room to say that sveika lo hakel min haTorah. Why? So Rav Moshe says, when a person has a chatzitz and a toivel in the mikveh, it's not that because there's a chatzitz and there's no bias mayim. No. The person was toivel in the mikveh. Let's say a person is toivel in the mikveh with a suit of armor. Mamash, a drop of water doesn't touch the body. That's called tefillah in the mikveh. But there's no bias mayim. So let's say there is bias mayim, but you have a chatzitza. So then Rav Moshe says, if it's a chatzitza, a little thing that's dirt that's on the body, so it's really tofel agav the body, but it's a special din yilara from psukim, a din a chatzitza. So Rav Moshe distinguishes between chatzitza mi'ibaroi and chatzitza nebeis hastarim. If you have a chatzitza on the outside of the body, so I say there was never any bias mayim on this part of the body. There was tefillah in the mikveh, he was submerged under the surface of the water, but there was no bias mayim. So there was no bias mayim, so he didn't get the first base. If you're toivel in the mikveh and you have a chatzitza nebeis hastarim, so you don't even need bias mayim. So it's just that then the chatzitza will passel the tefillah. So the woman who was tovel in the mikveh, her whole body was submerged under the water, and she doesn't have to open her mouth. So migra then she did the tefillah. The only thing is, if you'll find the chatzitza, it'll passel the tefillah. So that's when a person is toivel in the mikveh and there's a chatzitz in the beis hastarim, and there's a suffix whether the chatzitz was there before or after, so that's considered becheskas tara, and you want to say the chatzitz apostles the tefillah in the mikveh. So that's considered becheskas that the tefillah was good, and it's a suffix if there's a paisal on that, so then you go the kula, because she's becheskas tara. It's a harifas. That's how Moshe says from the psak and the shulchan aruch, that the mechaber writes like that. If you have a suffix, the woman finds a chatzitza in the beis hastarim after she's tevel, and she's mesupik whether the chatzitza was present before she was tevel and developed after, so you go lekula. So Rav Moshe writes, it doesn't necessarily prove the point that the mechaber has endorsed the shitas haritvo. The chatzitza of the beis hastarim is only the rabbanan. Rav Moshe always assumes that it's the raisa, like Tosfos, not like the marsham. Marsham was a big mekel and other mekilim. They start off right away, they say it's a, you're dealing with a double the Rabbanon. Chatzitzin beis hastam is only the Rabbanon, it's only a miyut, so it's a double the Rabbanon, so any svara called the hood, they're prepared to be made. So Moshe starts off, no, it's a real din deraisa. But he says, if the person knows that they were toivel, and they have a suffix, if there was a chatzitzin the beis hastam, if there's a suffix, maybe there's a chatzitzin on the outside, so there's a suffix whether there was bias mayim or not. If there's a chatzitzin, there's a lack of bias mayim. But if the chatzitzin the beis hastam, where you don't need bias mayim, so then the chatzitza will pass on. So the woman is becheskas getoivot with a suffix if there's a dova hapaisal. So that's becheskas to her. Harifas, yeah.
Why is that becheskas to her? Because the tefillah wasn't good. She was tefillah beforehand.
You have such dinim in other places. Let's say you have, just to give a wild mashal, the din is that a shomer who is bala vimo doesn't have to pay. So if he's a shemisach, it's not chayv and gnei v'aved. If he's a shol, it's not chayv and onsen. The Gemara has a machlek, is what if it's a pshia? Whether pshia bebailim is chayv or pata. So we pass, can bol avima even patas from pshia. So the Rambam writes over there, when you have, the Gemara has an ibaidle pshita on certain cases, but it's called bol avima, the end of bob metzia. So the Rambam writes, whenever you have a suffix bol avima, so if you're talking about gnei v'aved or onsen, so you're not chayv. If you're talking about pshia, then you are chayv. Why? So the Magen Mishnah says that it's the Rambam l'shitasa that he holds Pashem mitam mazik. So what does it help Pashem mitam mazik? But still balavima is potter. So he says no. Balavima by gnei v'aved v'yonza means that you're not chayv. Balavima by poshea means that you really were mechuyev, but it's a poiter. So if you have a vaday chiyuv and a sofik poiter, then it's becheskas chiyuv. But if you have a sofik chiyuv, then you say you're not mechuyev. Then you say I'm voitzi mechaver all of haraya. If it's a sofik balavim or by gnei v'aveda v'yonsin, and if there would have been balavim, then he would not be chayiv. So it's a sofik if you're mechuyev. So you say you're becheskas ptur. You say I'm voitzi mechaver all of haraya. But if it's a sofik balavim or amposheya, poshe mitam mazik, so you're becheskas chiyuv, and it's a sofik if you have a ptur or not. If you have a becheskas chiyuv and a sofik if you have a ptur, then you don't say Amoitzim Chavel of Arayis. Here, Amoitzim is assuming in the opposite direction. If you have a chatzitza on the outside of the body, so that's a lack of bias mayim, so you didn't get the first base. If you have a chatzitza inside the base hastarim, the tefillah is good, the bias mayim is good, everything is good. There's a poisil. So we know for sure the woman was tevel in the mikveh, there was a tefillah, even if there was a chatzitza, there was a tefillah. But if you know there was a chatzitza, then it's a poisil. Here there's a Cheskas Tahara and a Suffolk Paisel. So Suffolk Paisel is Becheskas Getoivel. It's a Harif is the answer, but he says he doesn't see that you can prove from this Psak and the Mechaber that Chatzitza and Beis HaStorm is only the Rabbah. There's a famous Rashi on Samach Zayin Amal Aleph. Long Rashi. Starts from the third line from the top. The din is that if a person, it goes on for 20 lines, 25 lines here, this long Rashi. So Rashi says that Yesh Meforshim, they're going to give a pshita the last four lines. Yesh Meforshim, a different pshat, v'lad milsa here, it's against the Tosef the Megillah. The Gaonim are of the opinion like this. When a person is Tomei, so the Chumash says that he has two options of how to become Tor. Either he's Tovel in a Mikveh, or he's Tovel in a Mayon. Ach mayon or bar mikveh mayim yihi ator. Either A or B. Either person is tevel in a mayon, or person is tevel in a mikveh. The dinim are different. A mayon means where the source of the water is from under the ground. So if the source is from under the ground, it's flowing water, it only has a din of a mayan if it's bezeichlin. Once it's no longer zeichlin, it doesn't have a din of mayan. And mikveh is just the reverse. If it's zeichlin, it's pasul. It'll be pasul. If the source of the water is rain or melting snow, so then it has to be dafke be'eshbar, and you have to have a shever, a crack in the ground, and the water has to be stagnant. That's what it means, mikveh. The word mikveh means cover b'kaimeh. The water is stagnant, standing still. If you have the melting snow is rolling down the side of the mountains, or it's pouring, and the big puddles, the big waves, of water slushing all over the place, so that's a strange machlekes bisham and misil. This amaisa every month, every day there were people going to mikveh. How can you have a machlekes bisham and misil? Bishamai said that there's nothing wrong with zeichlin. Misil say no, it's a psul deraisa. Bishamai amekel. That's called hardalish al sham. Hardalish al sham. So Bishamai said it's okay. Nothing wrong if the mikveh is flowing water. We paskin that it's no good. That's one of the pleas. How can you have a machlekes hatanoim? On Maisim B'chol Yom, every day of the year, there are people going to mikveh. So this machlekes, what they do last year, what they do 20 years ago, nobody remembers what they did. That Beis Shammai hold that you can be toivel b'zeichlin. Anyway, the din is like Beisila, that you cannot be toivel b'zeichlin if it's rainwater or if it's melted snow. That's called notvim. If the source of the water is the dripping water that came down from the skies. So notvim, you have to have davke eshbar, and eshbar means a shever, a crack in the ground. There should be kov b'kaimen, should be standing still. And zeichlin is a psul deraisa. Masha'enikain by a mayon has to be zeichlin. If it's not zeichlin, it's a mikveh. Then it's not a mayon. Is there any person whose tummy who requires davke a mayon and the mikveh is not good enough? So the pasuk says azav. There are three cases where you need davke a mayon. So one of them is a person whose tummy. One is Maim Chaim El Kelly. What's Nasa Maim Chaim El Kelly?
Sure.
By the Mitzor you need Maim Chaim, and who else do you need Maim Chaim? By the Paraduma, you have to have Maim Chaim El Kelly also. These three. So those, the Mitzor with this, that's not for the Tvila. That's for the mixing in with the Eifa Parah. Or to the Dam of the Tzipa Hashchuta should be Ala Maim HaChayim. Maim Chaim. Maim Chaim means mayon, that the source of the water is zeichlin. Notvim means the source of the water is the rain or the melting snow. And zeichlin means the source of the water is from under the ground, the mayon. So the pasuk says that a zav requires Maim Chaim. If a zav is tovel in a mikveh, it doesn't help. All the other tmeim have an option, either tovel in a mikveh or tovel mayim are equally good. So here there was a big machlekes. The Gaonim interpreted various gemaras. This is one of them, is over here. Avua de Shmuel. Shmuel had sisters. So Shmuel's father was a rabbi. So he used to do, that's the second line on the Daf Samach Zainim at Aleph. Avua de Shmuel used to do, fix up the mikvahs for his daughters. Lebanse, for his daughters. What exactly did he fix up? So Rashi quotes a pshat from the Gaonim that the Gaonim are assuming that Rabbi Shmuel was students of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, and we had the Gemara in Samach Vavim and Aleph. Rabbi Yudah Nasi made a takana that he treated all the women as a suffix need, a suffix zavah. So if a zav needs Maim Chaim, so they go and made a jump, and they assume that a zavah also needs Maim Chaim. A zavah can't be tovel on a regular mikveh. A woman who's a nida, nida's a nida, can be tovel on a regular mikveh, but a woman is a zavah, or all the women today are suffix zavah, suffix nidos, so be suffix, they have to be tovel in a mayot, dafke a mayot. That's what the Gaonim assumed, and they interpreted the Gemara Yesh Mefarshim to be the Maim Chaim Lezovo, Rashi says, and that's how the Gaonim interpreted this Gemara. So then Rashi concludes, "V'lab milsehi the Gaonim are dead wrong." The Tanya b'Tosefta it says Megillah Perak Aleph says in the Tosefta, "Chaimah b'zav and b'zova has ein bein." Says ein bein or the Rishon or the Sheni or the Mikra Megillah b'vada, and it has ein bein letzor muchtla letzor muzker ein bein. Ein bein zavarei shteibis and zavarei sholoshvis, a whole list of ein bein. So then it says in the Tosefta more ein bein. So it says chaim bezav mi bezav, shazav ton maim chaim and zav does not need maim chaim. They both need shiv and nekiim, but the zav does not require tefillah and a mayon. She can be tovel and a mikvah. So Rashi says the Gaon made a mistake. It's against the Beferish of Tosefta. This Rashi appears many places in Shas. After time Rashi's masig on the Gaonim around 6-7 times. Half the time Rashi quotes the Gaonim and he leaves like that, and half the time he's masig and he says it's against the halacha. That's a Tosefta Megillah that shows that it's wrong. Ramban on Chumash quotes this from the Goyim, and he says that they're wrong. Ramban on Metzora, Parshas Metzora. I think it may be the last Ramban on Parshas Metzora. He quotes the Goyim and insists that you need Mayim Chaim for Tvila Zava, and then he says it's against the Tosef. He quotes the same Tosef in the Goyim, that you don't require Mayim Chaim for a Zava or for a Sofik Zava. So he mentioned that the last four lines on the Omer Aleph, Samach Zayin Omer Aleph, last four lines, the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah in the Goyim, that the din of Beis Hastarim, certain parts of the body are labeled as Beis Hastarim. I'm going to get to what? I'm going to get to Tumas Mago, I'm going to get to Masa, it's irrelevant. There it's only relevant what's Balua. I'm going to get to Tumas Mago, it's relevant. I'm going to get to Bias Mayim, when a person is Tamei, and Tavel and a Mikveh, you don't need Bias Mayim on Beis HaStorim, only on Mayodo Mibaroi. That Mayodo Mibaroi goes on Yiga Hazab Batohar, Yiga the Maga has to be Mibaroi, not Beis HaStorim. And the other Loshot of my mind, the Bias Mayim, has to be only the Chelik Mibaroi. Whatever is Beis HaStorim doesn't need the Maga. Where else do you have this special din for the Beis HaStorim? So that's the Mishnah Nigoy. That if a person has a negat saras, and the negat saras happens to be the Beis HaStorim, so the din is at its Torah. You don't tell a person they should open up their mouth wide and you should look inside. Since the mouth is normally closed, or the eyes, tell him, pull his eye like this, open up your eyelid so we should be able to see what's inside. Not mechut. Or the bottom of the foot, also the Mishnah said, the bottom of the foot, there's no din of tumas negat saras, because that's also considered Beis HaStorim. Some Shonim gave a different reason over there. The bottom of the foot is not tumas tzaras because it's harder, because you always walk on the bottom of the foot, so it's harder skin. So it's not considered nega or basar. It's not considered or, because it became so hard. But that's not the real reason. The Rash says the real reason is because the bottom of the foot is considered beis hastar. So the Mishnah tells you, huish nirik oider, huish niris karegis kaminika is beno. So the Gemara is putting together the din and the Mishnah and the Goyim that there's no nega tzaras if the nega tzaras is in the Beis HaStorim. The Gemara relates that to Tefillah and the Mikveh over here, that the person is Tomei, Tefillah and the Mikveh has to be concerned about Chatzitza in the Beis HaStorim, but he doesn't have to be concerned about the Bias Mayim. There's no need for Bias Mayim in the Beis HaStorim. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that a lot of times a person has a condition that he's not allowed to let water into his ear, he can lose his hearing. They can go deaf. So they have to have earplugs. When they go, they don't go swimming. They don't look for trouble. When they take a shower, they always have earplugs. So the shaila is, can a woman be tovel in a mikveh with earplugs? Isn't that a chatzitza? So Moshe says no. So first he proves that the din is correct, and then he has to explain why. First he proves, gets all excited about this raya. He didn't realize that the raya is already brought in the Galatiana Achrenim, they have this raya. Rav Moshe thought he was the first one who discovered this. Then in the middle of Masechet Shabbos, you have Perek Bama Isha Yoitza, what kind of clothing is a woman, what kind of jewelry, what kind of things is a woman allowed to wear, what kind of things is a man allowed to wear when he walks in the street when there's no air, what kind of things is a woman allowed to wear. So the Mishnah says that she's not allowed to wear such things in case she has to go to Mikvah on Friday night. So whatever she'll have to take off, because it'll be a chatzitza, whatever is tight on the body, she'll have to take it off. So as the woman's walking to the mikveh, she's not going to start undressing in the middle of the street. But she may start taking off things that are a choker around the neck, or earrings. She may start taking off things that are chatzitzas. So whatever would be a chatzitza for tefillah, and it's not part of her clothing, so that you don't allow a woman to wear that in the street on Friday night, because she may be going on her way to the mikveh, she may start taking off. So the Mishnah says b'feirush that she's allowed to have earplugs. She's allowed to have earplugs in her ears. So Moshe said, but it's going to be a chatzitza, whatever is a chatzitza. The Gemara says the rule is that she's not allowed to wear that in the street on Shabbos. So it's a raya that it's not a chatzitza, that she's allowed to be tovel in the mikveh with the earplugs in. So that's the raya the Chavetzelos HaSharon has like that. Chavetzelos HaSharon was earlier, before Moshe. So he has this raya also, but he doesn't give any explanation. He just says, you see from the Mishnah, he said it's mutter. So Rav Moshe said, you see from the Mishnah, he said, Bab Meisha, he said that it's mutter. Then you have to give back an explanation. So Rav Moshe says, because it's not a chatzitz, it's worse than a chatzitz. It's a lack of bias mayim. So he says the inside of the year is really Beis Hastorim. You don't need Bias Mayim there. The only thing is, if you'll have a chatzitza, that'll ruin the tefillah. That'll passel the tefillah. But it's not. There is no din that you need Bias Mayim. So he says, what would constitute a chatzitza if you have a layer of dirt over there? You have a heavy wax and the water can't touch the ear. Or you have some implant in the ear. You have a chleis, something attached to the ear. What if you have an earplug in the ear? You take it out. So he says the earplug is worse than chatzitza. An earplug is called a lack of bias mayim. It's not something, a little dirt that should have been bought lag of the body, but because it's a miut hamakpid, so it's a chatzitza derabban. An earplug is worse than that. Earplug means that there's mamish no bias mayim. But he says if you have an earplug on a beis hastorim, so that's not a problem. Only if you have a chatzitza on the beis hastorim. The bigger the problem is, so that's the solution. For the Beis HaStorim, that's the solution. So some of the Ungarish Dayanim don't realize how serious a condition this is, that the women can lose their hearing. So they tell the women they should take cotton, they should dip the cotton into the mikveh, get it all good and wet, and then they should put it in the ear. And then they should be tovel in mikveh. So that says in the Mishnah is that if you dipped it into the meha mikveh and you put it in your ear, so you assume that the water in the mikveh is connected with the water in between the inside of the cotton and the inside of the ear, and the women lose their hearing. If you dip the cotton in the mikveh and you put it in your ear, that half a drop of water, that's enough to lose your hearing. So the ear doctors complain that the Hungarian Dayanim don't know Ramosha's truth. Ramosha was matli. He says, has a Mishnah. There's a Tesis on Samach Zayin and Aleph, talks about certain chumras. The Gemara has one girsa. We don't have an Agamah. The Gemara has one girsa that there are certain chumras and tefillah. So the Tesis starts off Pascha in Eho. Achaz a kas befirish abin a chananel, a mikzas a sav leisilch ze kol ha nishmaitze, the chiyit mahani le taris, ava le bay lo tahoyra. There's a difference between tefillah. A person wants to be tovel, a woman wants to be tovel to remove tumas nido for tumah v'tara purposes. A woman wants to be tovel in a mikveh to be mutaris labayla. So we have introduced, we had some Rishonim said that you need two different psukim. That's what Rabbi Chanan of Asman had the whole essay about. Some said you need a separate, with one pasuk that says that a nido needs tefillah in a mikveh to become tohera. And it's either halacha Moshe Messina or some other source, a drosh and a pasuk, that a nida labayla will also need tefillah in a mikveh. It's not that one is totally on the other. It's not that the isa labayla is a function of the tumas nida. So that's on the level of the rabbanon lachari. You see, place inside the girsa like that. We usually assume called the tikkun rabban came there as a tikkun. If you find a difference in tefillah's nida labayla and tefillah's nida lataris on the level of the rabbanon, it probably, or perhaps it should indicate that there's a difference on the level of their eyes, so that they're two different deen. So that's what Tyson says, such a gears. That there's a difference, perhaps there's a difference on the level of the rabbon. Is a din that the bottom tesis on Samach Vavim based isha letitpal binomel. What's wrong if a woman is tovel in the port binomel? So the different interpretations. So one of the tesis has a few. One pshat is because there are people there, so she's afraid. She's going to be so nervous that people are going to see her, so she's going to run into the ocean and run out, and she won't take her time. A woman has to make sure she's tovel in the mikveh slowly. You shouldn't be nervous because there may be chatzitzis and she may not have bias mayim. So you have to be able to take your time. But this has another pshat that binomel, because the ships are all throwing, they have all water, buckets full of dirty water, they throw all the water in the ports, and it may well be that the ocean water over there is a kosher mikveh, but you may have so much mayim shuvim, three lines from the bottom. Of the Tosfos on some of them based on Chananel Pirish Mikvoz B'Yomei Nissen, that's on the top. That's the second line from the top of some of Zayin Amid Aleph and the Gemara. That Shmuel's father was a Talmid Chacham, and his daughters had to go to mikveh. So you had to do something in the summertime and in the wintertime. B'Yomei Tishrei B'Yomei Nissen. So you had to do something Mikvah is b'yomei nisan for his daughters. What was the concern? So Tosfos quotes three lines from the bottom Tosfos Dibra Maskol Isha, in the bottom of some of them, and based on Ben Hanan Pirish, Mikvah is b'yomei nisan, Mishum, b'chayish l'shuv and b'chayim Pirish ha'oruch. What are they worried about? That if you have Maim Shuvim, it's possible for a mikvah. So that's a famous machlokes in Rishonim, whether Gimel Lugim Maim Shuvim possible a mikvah. That's only a din midrabbanan. That's not a din midatar. That if you have a mikvah that's chaser, you don't have 40 soah yet, and you pour in Gimel Lugim Maim Shuvim, even if you add on Maim Sherim, millions and millions of soah Maim Sherim afterwards, the mikvah will not be kosher. But once you have a boim saw, mayim kshirim, then you add on three gimelug and mayim shuvim and one pasal. So what exactly, the temahu, mashi v'shachtai says, what is he talking about? What is Rabbeinu Hananel talking about over here? So apparently Rabbeinu Hananel was of the opinion that if you have a kosher and mikveh, you have a kosher and mikveh over here, you have 100 saw of mayim kshirim, but you have 105 saw of mayim shuvim, of mayim shuvim. So we usually say, what are you worried about? If you have 40 soah mayim shuvim, you can add on tons and tons of mayim shuvim. It's hashoke. The hashoke removes the status of mayim shuvim. So the shach in Yeridei quotes a suffix from the Rabbein Yeruchim. The way we have the system, we have in every mikveh you have, there's a bar hatfila and there's a bar hashoke. So they get water from the roof that falls down a chute. You have to make sure it's not mayim shuvim. We're afraid that the water from the tap may all be mayim shuvim. So we don't turn on the faucet just to fill up a mikveh. So what we do is we fill up a mikveh from water from the faucet, but we're concerned that it may well be mayim shuvim. So we have another mikveh that's full of water that came down through a chute from the roof. That's mayim kshirim. And then you have a nekev hashoka. You have a pipe that connects the two. So you open up the nekev hashoka. So this mikveh that's mayim shuvim is mechubet in the mikveh that's kosher, so there's no problem. So the shach in Yeridei quotes a very small shach, he quotes a suffix from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Does the nekev hashoka, they have a gigantic plug. When they take out the plug, do you say, that's it, the hashoka was machshir the mikveh, you can put that back the plug, and then you can be tovel in this mikveh? They say, no. Mayim shuvim never becomes mayim kshir. Hashoke means if you have mayim tameim, if you have water that's tamei. There are four things in the whole wide world that are mekabel tumah. There's other mekelim, ochlam, and mashkim. So other mekelim have tara b'mikveh, and ochlam and mashkim have no tara b'mikveh. But the one exception of mayim. Mayim, if you do hashoke, so then it has, then it becomes tohar. So Rashi, whenever the Gemara says that if you have mayim that became tamei, you do hashoke, it becomes tohar. So Rashi always says not that it has tefillah b'mikveh. No, it's a din of zriya. The din is, let's say, have a potato that's tummy, and you plant the potato on the ground, and it takes root. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that whatever is growing in the ground is tor. Zriya is metahir. If you have tomatoes, potatoes, onions, apples, oranges, whatever grows, if it's tummy and you plant it in the ground, it takes root, so that it loses its tumah. So the same is true regarding water. If I have water that's tummy and I make a hashoke, I have a cup of water that's tummy, and I dip the cup in a mikveh, and there's a slight connection between the water in the cup and the water in the mikveh, so that's called hashokas. Hashokas is called zriya. It's considered as if the water is zaruah in the ground. Whoever heard of zriya, water? So Rashi quotes, it says, zareya mayim al pnei chutzas. There's a pasuk that talks about zriya and water. So if the water that's tummy comes in contact with a body of water, a puddle of water on the ground, has to have a minimum of a revius water. You don't need memsor for that. If you have a revius water, that's a valid hashoka, removes the tumah. Removes the tumah. So even if you take it away from the hashoka, you discontinue the hashoka. Once it was nitar, it remains torn. But the shah is, what if you have mayim shuvim and you make hashoka? So kolzman that the plug is out. So I can be tovel on the mikveh that's kulo shav because it's a branch of the mikveh that's kosher. Because the neck of hashoka is open, so this is a branch. The shot is the minute that I close the neck of hashoka, do you say that just like hashoka is mitahir mayim tamei, so too it removes the psul of mayim shuvim? So you open up the neck of hashoka for a moment, you put the plug back in, it can still be toivel in the mayim shuvim, because there's no longer mayim shuvim. How do you say no? Mayim shuvim remains mayim shuvim, li'olam void. It's not the same as hashoka that removes the tumah. Mayim shuvim remains mayim shuvim, li'olam void. The only thing is, that calls man that it's an extension of the mikvah kshere, you have mem so mayim kshirim, so then it's considered like I'm being tovel in a branch, an extension of the mikvah kshere that's over there. So this is a suffix in the shach. Shach quotes a suffix from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is a Talmud of the Rosh. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. He says, kedai to be choshish for the chumrah of the Shach B'Shem Rabbeinu Ruchni. So that's what these Balei HaTev, this Rabbeinu Hananel and the Aruch, they probably think like that. You have in the port, you have more than Mem Soh, Maim Ksherim, from the ocean, but there are so many ships there, and all the ships are dumping all of their dirty water into the whatever, all the water they have, Maim Shuvim. So there's a concern that there may be Rove Maim Shuvim against the Miut Maim Ksherim. Well, what do I care? But if I have Mem Soh, Maim Ksherim, so everything else has Ashokas, obviously they think like this Suffolk and the Rabbein Yeruchim. The Orech with the Rabbein Hananel think that once it's Maim Shuvim, it remains Maim Shuvim. Till there's a water cycle. The Gemara in the first parak in Tainis talks about the water cycle. The water is going to evaporate, go into the clouds, come down again. Once it goes into the clouds, it's gas, and then it comes back down. You start all over again. You don't say all the water, by now all the water in the world is Maim Shuvim. All the water since Adam Arishon. It's already 6,000 years. All the water in the world was contained in a kli at one time or the other. So the answer is that Panim Chadash Bovakan. But Kozman, it didn't, it's still in this Gilgal. It didn't go back to the sky and then come back down again. It didn't go the whole route, the whole water cycle. So Maim Shuvim will remain Maim Shuvim. And if you have a Rov Maim Shuvim and a Niud Maim Sheirim, so they hold it that puzzles. Tosha says Tema. They never heard of such a thing. But that's what the Rabbein Hananel and the we don't paskin like this. We paskin the Shulchan Aruch. Once you have Aboim Soh, you can add on tons of Maim Shuvim, and it's not a problem. It doesn't, the fact that we paskin like that doesn't necessarily mean that if you do a Hashokah, it's the same also. Maybe it's only in this mikveh. This mikveh had Aboim Soh, so I add on as much Maim Shuvim as I want, you can still be toibel over here. This is a mikveh sheva. It's all an extension of the mikveh sheva. But if the mikveh sheva is over here, and I have Maim Shuvim over here, and I make a Hashokah, and I put the plug back, now I have no Maim Shuvim, I only have Maim Shuvim. So that's still room for the 2 days in the Rabbein Yeruch. Even though we're Mekel on this, we don't hold like this Rabbein Hananel in the Aruch, that if you have a Rove of Maim Shuvim and a Miut of Maim Ksherim, that you can't be Tovel there. We hold that you can be Tovel. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's based on Hashokah. Could be that if it would only be Hashokah from one mikveh to the other with a neck of Hashokah, it could be if you close the neck of Hashokah is no good. That's why more correct is that when a woman goes to be Tovel in the mikveh, you Tovel Kalim, should always make sure that the plug is out. If the plug is in, then it's 2 days under Rabbein Yeruchim, whether it's a good tefillah or not. Okay. Lynette will continue tomorrow. Let's see, tomorrow, I was told that today and tomorrow, the OU program is going to be a whole